Money podcast from The Guardian, in association with Nationwide Mortgages. Nationwide, proud to be a building society.
Hello and welcome to the second in our Money Guide series, in which we tackle a range of knotty issues in the field of personal finance. Today we're looking at an area that's not so much a field, more a dense and frightening forest full of confusing terminology, terrifying sums of money, and quite possibly wild beasts into the bargain as well. Yep, we're looking at the mortgage market. We're joined by an expert panel who've promised to lead us through the wood unscathed, David Hollingworth, who's a mortgage specialist from London and Country Mortgages, and Jill Inslee is the head of the consumer team at The Guardian and Observer, and also Personal Finance Journalist of the Year. David, first of all, is it a jungle out there, and is there hope?
It's a very tough market out there. It has been for some time now, but actually there are some more encouraging signs. There's been a bit more stability. It's not quite so doom and gloom, perhaps.
Jill Inslee?
Well, like any jungle, as long as you prepare yourself properly and you've got the right tools, there is a way through it. So, you know, there is light at the end of the path, maybe, rather than
in the undergrowth.
Yes.
Well, we'll get some more of your expertise in just a minute. But first, let's hear from Phil. He showed us round the flat he's hoping, in just a few days, to call his own. That's if he can get final approval on a mortgage.
Right. Let's see if we can get in for a start. Hallway. This leads into the living room, which is the front aspect of the building. Bit of a noisy road. I think everyone at my age is a first-time buyer. I'm 28. So the opportunity to get on the ladder has been a long time coming. The mortgage market at the moment, very tough in my experience. I used a financial advisor, a very well-known wealth management company. I went to them because they're a whole-of-market mortgage advisor, and I respect their ability to have access to more mortgages than I can get on my own. Into the bathroom, which is small but perfectly formed, rather like myself. In London, you are going to get bathrooms which don't have any windows and don't have any sort of outside light, but... His recommendation was to go for the two-year tracker, which is at 4.4% above base rate, which means I'll be paying about 4.9% at the current. With the idea that interest rates are historically low, although in the current circumstances we don't really know what's going on, but the anticipation was that interest rates would stay in and around that level for the next 2 years. After that two-year period, my lock-in period, I can then look to remortgage or get onto a fixed rate where I can take a longer period. The next door is the kitchen, which is also very small, but plenty of fitted units. I'll be on my own, so I don't need a lot of space. I do cook. I am a modern man. It's got a nice rear aspect, so I can always... The process of getting approval for a mortgage and finding a provider, it certainly seems a lot harder than it was in the days of Northern Rock falling over themselves to lend people money. I have a good credit rating, but my provider made me sign a commitment that I would pay off all my credit cards within 1 month of the mortgage approval. So I couldn't have any unsecured debt whatsoever to my name within 1 month of taking out the mortgage. Luckily for me, I already paid off my credit cards, but I had to state all my credit cards, what the limits were, who the providers were, and what the current balances were, and then provide that undertaking. Onto a... rather small balcony, but a lovely balcony all the same. A real bonus. Bit of outside space, a little bit of fresh air, a little bit of light. It's not particularly... It's been hard work, but I'd like to think the outcome is worth the slog that it feels like it's been to get this far. I'd like to think I'll be moving in all my little boxes over the weekend or on Monday morning and then settling down for a cup of tea and probably sitting on the boxes because I don't own any furniture or a bed, but I do have a sleeping bag.
The ever resourceful Phil, blooded but unbowed and just beginning to glimpse sunlight through the trees. David, it sometimes feels, as he's just suggested, that it's a confusing world and it's got even more confusing in the last 12 months. Can you give us a sense of how the banking crisis has actually affected the mortgage market?
Yeah, well, we've seen a direct reversal in the market of 2007, which was very volume driven. So lenders were, as the case study said, almost falling over themselves to lend money. Now we're in very much a different marketplace, and actually lenders are almost pulling away from lending too much. They've only got limited funds that they will be prepared to lend. The margin on mortgage deals and the rates have been pushed up, and it's a much tougher process to get hold of a mortgage. One of the biggest changes has clearly been the deposit requirements, and that has hit first-time buyers hard. So whilst they've seen prices dropping, actually, in terms of mortgage rate, they need a much bigger deposit than they will have been used to.
And Jill, it seems to be the case that financial companies are much more rigorous when it comes to looking at people's credit history. That will have affected first-time buyers. Phil, aged 28, they are particularly having a tough time, aren't they?
They really are. And as Phil found, they're not interested in lending to people who have lots of debt already. So the best thing you can do is exactly what he did, which is reduce your debt, build up as much as you can in the way of savings, and make sure your credit record is sparkly clean.
In the last few years or so, all of us have been led to believe that we can almost buy a home at the drop of the hat, but of course that's not the case anymore. 125% mortgages no longer exist, do they?
No, they don't. In fact, 100% mortgages don't exist anymore. And most lenders would be unwilling to lend you 90% unless you're a really good proposition, unless you've got a fantastic track record in managing your finances. The best rates are available for the people who have the biggest deposits. So the more you save, the better.
So when it comes to that mortgage choice, should it be fixed or variable? That's always a big decision, isn't it?
It's the perennial dilemma, I think, one that borrowers struggle with always. But at the moment, it's ever more confusing. Earlier in the year, we saw a rush to fixed rates because the forecasts were that base rates could rise very quickly and sharply. However, that's now started to change. Forecasts are that base rate could stay lower for longer. And so there has been a definite shift back in balance towards variable rates, so tracker deals in particular. What you have to ultimately do is look at what's going to be best for you. Can you manage an increase in your payments if base rate were to go up by even as much as 3, 4, 5%? If the answer is no, then I think you have to still make the consideration of whether a fixed rate is a better deal for you.
There's one other thing that I'd like to recommend that people consider, which is whether they should take out mortgage payment protection insurance at this precise moment. Normally it's not something that we're terribly keen on in the press, and we've given it quite a bad write-up in the past. But with the job situation being so precarious, then maybe it is just something worth looking at right now if you can afford it. And, you know, if in a couple of years' time your position looks much more assured, you can always cancel the policy. But I would say it's probably better to be safe than sorry right now.
And this also depends on where you live in the country as well, because, of course, the house prices vary considerably from the northeast, for the southeast, for example. Big, big differentiation.
Yeah, I think, you know, the headlines are at the moment that prices have started to tick back up as a kind of average across the nation. But obviously, house prices are very regional. And the best thing that first-time buyers can do is keep a very close eye on the local market. Rather than being panicked into, are we at the bottom and are they going to go sky high again? There's other people who will be forecasting that actually prices could come back down again. So really, it's all about focusing in on, are you buying the right property still? That is the key thing, rather than, am I missing out on a bargain here?
And moving on from first-time buyers, Jill, what about the way the situation now is affecting people who might be looking to remortgage or are stuck in a fixed-term mortgage and they can't do anything, of course, without a penalty?
People who are already in an existing mortgage and aren't sure about how much it will cost them to move out of that should always first ask the lender what the penalties are, what are they likely to have to face in the way of charges if they remortgage. If they're still in doubt, why not go to a mortgage broker like David? You know, they're experts on the whole field. They can give you all the information you need about what's available out there. I would always recommend that people go to a mortgage broker.
And finding one that is good, I think, is always difficult, because how do you know if you go to someone who's supposedly independent that they are going to give you good advice?
You've got to look at aspects of what service are they providing. So is it whole of market rather than just a restricted panel? That's a key one to look at. And what kind of charges might you face? So is there a fee?
Also, I'd add in there, make sure that when you're dealing with a mortgage broker, that they don't sell you anything that you don't want. If you're not wanting to buy life insurance or MPPI, which is mortgage protection payment insurance, alongside your mortgage, then don't. You know, you're there for a particular reason, and make sure you understand everything that they're saying to you, and don't sign on any dotted line unless you're happy with it.
I remember when I was getting a mortgage, I was besieged by all these terms and terminology, and it took a lot of courage to actually ask people to explain what they were, and I felt a bit stupid doing it. But you've got to ask if you don't understand, haven't you?
You do have to understand what you're looking at. I think there's loads of information on the web now. Most people who come to us will probably have had a look on the internet. The only thing that a lot of these sites don't provide you, of course, is that advice to your individual requirements. There's loads of information. The terminology will be explained so you can work your way through that and get a feel for what's on the market. But ultimately, if you want advice, approaching a whole market broker makes a lot of sense.
Jill, in terms of the kind of questions you get asked or that emerge from the website, the Guardian website, when you do a mortgage clinic, you get besieged, don't you?
We certainly do. People are very worried about their situation. I think the sector that's probably most worried at the moment are those who bought a couple of years ago. They bought at the peak of the market, really stretched themselves to get a mortgage. And since then, they've seen their home desperately fall in value. So a lot of them are now in negative equity. They can't remortgage even if they want to. And they're probably paying more now than they actually anticipated. It's very, very hard for them.
People have suffered on the remortgage side as well. This is normally negative equity. We'd be talking about riding it out for those who need to move. It's a problem, but those who don't, it's not a problem. But the erosion of equity has had an impact on those looking at remortgaging. If you are in negative equity, one thing that you can look at is some lenders are offering their existing customers deals even if they are in a negative equity position. So if you did want to fix in, for example, rather than go on to standard variable rate, there are a few, two or three lenders out there who may be able to come up with an offer for you.
I suppose, too, lenders themselves need the business, but they're still very cautious about handing that money over, aren't they?
Well, they are, but they're right to be cautious as well, because otherwise their customers, the mortgage borrowers, are going to find themselves in incredible difficulties. And where we've come to now is probably where we were in the 60s and 70s, where people were having to save up beforehand and they were getting themselves in a decent financial situation. And, you know, we all know that's what we should be doing. It's just we've become very impatient and we're not used to saving for something we want anymore.
In the light of that, how likely is it that we are going to see people moving house much more slowly, being more considered about what they do and taking longer to make that decision? This is all going to slow down, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the housing market at the moment, the rise in prices is actually driven by the lack of supply. So people aren't looking to sell at the moment, either because they don't have enough equity or they just feel less certain about prospects. You know, obviously, unemployment is still a bit of a spectre. So people are just holding off and there's very limited supply in the market. And that's why people are willing to pay the asking price for good quality property at the moment.
Just remind us, Jill, your advice to people looking for a mortgage now. Where should they begin?
They should begin by looking at their own financial situation and then going to talk to a mortgage broker about it. Make sure it's a whole of market mortgage broker who can give them a good idea of what's going on and what is available across all the lenders.
And David, your view of the long-term prospects for the mortgage market, what do you predict if that's at all possible?
Yeah, crystal ball gazing, always a good one. But I think next year we can't really hope to see huge change in the market. I think it will be pretty tough. The forecasts are that the level of lending won't improve particularly, be very much the same as this year. So that's really very low. It's going to remain a tough market. You are going to be looking at better rates for bigger deposits still, in my view.
If you are facing the mortgage challenge, I do hope it works out for you, and I hope this has been some help. Many thanks to our guests, David Hollingworth and Jill Inslee. Do have a listen to the rest of the Money Guide series. They're packed full of sensible advice and expert insight into the money matters that, with the help of our podcast, will no longer keep us all awake at night. I'm Claire Catford. Thank you for listening.
Nationwide Mortgages. Nationwide. Proud to be a building society.